We are watching the 7-10 split.
Yeah.
The first one on TV in 30 years, only the fourth time ever on the PBA Tour.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You figured it'd be done more than four times. Teresa Walker, do you remember the old PBA show on ABC Sports on Saturday afternoons with Chris Schenkel?
Of course I do. My parents were big bowlers. They were champion bowlers in that league. So, yes, I spent a lot of time back in the day at bowling alleys. And, yes, my family watched. I used to want my own ball. And I just can't. I have never scored more than 130 at a bowling alley. So
wow,
I didn't get
you got me beat.
I like
that's
it.
That's where I'm really good.
When they get that thing, you just set it on and it rolls down.
Yeah. You got to get the bumpers out for me. Yeah, I live in the gutters.
Oh, me. Where do you want to...
Figuratively and literally, right?
Where do you want to start, Teresa?
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole bunch. I mean, you know, the one thing we're all waiting for is, 2 o'clock to see David Poile most likely for a change not do anything. So I think we'd all be pretty stunned if there is a move by the Predators today. But, you know, this is a team, guys, have won 13 of their last 15. I was all on the trade. Mm-hmm. Get what you can. It's rebuild mode. But the weird thing about all these injuries, it's forced them into the youth movement that, you know, David Poile originally wanted to take for this season before they released this schedule. And it's amazing to see this team. You know, it's almost like it reminds me of the movie Major League. You know, it's like just when you think everything's done, they just start winning to despite, you know, and instead of being sold and shipped off to another town or moved, well, the Predators are literally fighting to stay together. So, you know, the team that told us, you know, remember after the Stanley Cup final and after the second round loss to Winnipeg, keep us together.
Yeah.
Well, there's still some pieces of that group, but finally this is a team that's playing, keep us together, and giving them reasons to not make any changes. So it's going to be interesting to watch the clock tick down.
T, who deserves the most credit for this turnaround with the Preds, in your mind?
Well, eventually I'm going to give it to the players. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, they're playing the way, you know, when you make a coaching change, like, you know, Poile did a year ago in January with John Hines, you know, usually you see something quicker. And, you know, maybe it's just there were some bad habits that they had to break, you know, and then the stop, the start, the pause, none of that helped. But, you know, anybody who's a procrastinator knows this. There's nothing like a deadline to get you motivated. And maybe it was just the talk that, you know, okay, we're going to trade this guy. You know, Ekholm could be traded. You know, what about this? What about that? You know, and essentially it's like, you know, the only people that seemed to be untradeable at a certain point were Duchesne and Johansson. Why? Because of their contracts. So at that point, it's like, well, it almost seems from the outside that we got to get going. And, you know, whatever the reason, whether it's finally what John Hines was preaching and trying to get them to play to, this you can see the difference is dramatic on the ice. I mean, they skate fast. That hard on the puck thing, you know, they're moving. I mean, you know, watching, you know, is it Taylor Janot? I'm not sure how you say his name, but, you know, another of the new guys. He's just knocking, you know, Dallas Stars out of the, you know, knocking them down like pens. And it's like, you know, some of those bowling pens, eh? But, you know.
Good job by you.
Yeah, thank you. But that's the thing. For so long, Dallas has just kind of eaten the Predators' lunch because they've been more physical than the Predators, and we are seeing them play physical. We're seeing them play fast. It's a fun team to watch. And then, oh, yeah, this whole thing with the overtime and shootouts, where did this come from? I mean, this is a franchise that 2-3 seasons ago, you couldn't buy an overtime or a shootout win. You go there and it's like, oh, no, let's head for the car. And now it's like, stay tuned because I want to see what they do next. And, you know, last night it's Johansson scores one, going fast for a change, slow Hansen. And then, you know, UC Saros making all the stops to preserve the win. I mean, this team is just fun to watch right now, even if you don't know who all the guys are on the ice.
Well, and goaltending, to start right there with it, it's just like, you know, if you don't have good goaltending, it doesn't matter in a lot of ways. And certainly what Soros has done since he's come back, Pekka, and but then again, you know, Saturday night, and I think Charlie pointed it out really well, you had two Vezina Trophy winners in net, former, and Vasilevsky on his way to another one, most likely this year. And the game Saturday night, 5-on-5, you know, it was really a two-zip game because of the empty net. That may have been one of their better games they've played in quite some time, and obviously still come out. Tampa Bay figured out how to win, and then they roll it in to last night as well. It just seems like when each of these players come back, they seem energized, but because of, I think they're looking over their shoulder and say, look, I am being paid to. I'm being paid very well. And Ryan Johansson's such an easy lightning rod, quite frankly. I thought he's played well since he's come back. And so you come back, and so now, and again, go listen to Charlie in his podcast or the thing he did with us last hour. But now, as these players come back, it is like getting a trade. Forsberg's going to come back. Duchesne's going to come back. Tolvanen's going to come back, and the. These young players are seizing that opportunity. I think it's put a little pep in the step from the with the older players.
Well, absolutely, and I think it wasn't Ryan Ellis who said that it's like he came back to a different team, because he did. You know, this team was just trying to get out of its own way and couldn't. And now suddenly this team is doing everything you want. So, yeah, the pressure is on these guys when they're coming back from injury to step up. And here's the thing. Even if David Poile doesn't make any moves, as we kind of all expect here in Nashville today, he still has some leeway once the season is over. However it ends, Mikael Granlund is the only guy who was a one-year deal, okay, that was probably the biggest trade bait. And then behind that, Mattias Ekholm. Well, Ekholm is still under contract after this season. So if David Poile needs to go ahead and go that route, then that's somebody he could trade. And, you know, yes, he's going to have to expose somebody to the Kraken to help create some space on this roster. So some changes coming this offseason regardless. It may not be as much as people thought a month and a half ago. I mean, Lord, let's not forget, at the end of February, guys, they were 28th in the NHL. Forget thinking playoffs. This was a team that was trying to figure out and what lottery spot they might pick in the draft. So it's just been amazing and impressive for this turnaround. And, you know, here's the thing. The pressure's on. You know, no pressure. You've got a little bit of a wiggle room, but, they don't have literally that much breathing room or margin for error, so they got to keep it up.
Teresa Walker is our guest, Hall of Fame writer from the Associated Press. She joins us every Monday at this time. Eddie George, assuming it's going to happen, it's been widely reported, nothing official yet, but we're expecting that to come down the pike very soon. What do you make of the move? And, I was talking earlier with Greg and Charlie about it. I think we're going to see, you know, a pattern with these HBCUs hiring big-name guys to come in and coach. It's going to help recruiting. It's going to help, you know, national exposure. I mean, I don't know what kind of coach Eddie's going to be, but it's exciting news for Tennessee State and the city as well, right?
Well, guess what? Tennessee State used to be known for all the talent that it produced. I mean, you know, you can go through and start ticking off a bunch of names, but over the last 10, 15 years, not many. And so, you know, this immediately gets them on the national landscape. It kind of does for TSU what hiring Deion Sanders did for Jackson State. You know, it is attention, because those names bring people to talk about and report on how that school's doing, how that coach is doing, that would be ignoring them before. I'll be honest, you know, Southern Heritage Classic is probably a game that's now on my calendar for this fall that wasn't before because of the two coaches involved. So I'm not going to be the only one. So that's where Mickey Allen is making the gamble that, you know, that Eddie with his connections, Eddie with his experience can do for. But most importantly, Eddie with his name and his brand will bring attention to the TSU brand that they haven't been able to get in quite a long time.
Yeah, over 100 players from TSU have played in the NFL, by the way. And, of course, they have three Hall of Famers, should have four.
Right, with Tuitt.
With Tuitt Jones. But, You know, the thing about it, the entire, we're talking with Rod Reif, we've talked a lot about this, and certainly it all boiled down to winning. And 11 years, last three season losing season, 7-14 in OVC play the last 3 years. And that's the bottom line, regardless of who is going to follow Rod. And I talked to, I told John this, talked to Rod last night. He's okay. He's in a good place. And, you know, you move forward. He will land on his feet, and that's the thing I'm happy about. But you talk about TSU in general, and I've got – can I give her my line? You know, I'm so proud of
it. Yeah, you should.
If this is indeed going to be the case, you know, when you go in and recruit somebody, you got to go after and get their mom on your side. Well, the difference between Dion and Eddie is that the mom wants to party with Dion and wants to marry Eddie.
That's very true, and I mean that's the thing. There's a big difference there. No matter how much Dion has maybe changed his life in the last few years, but I'll just say this: I was over at TSU yesterday. I'm working on a story that's moving this week. You know, on the OVC having played games this season on Sundays. And you know, people going from church to football this season, and so yeah, it was just, you know, talked to Rod on Thursday. He's been a great guy, great coach over there. And for any coach, I mean, that's the thing. This pandemic, you know, they've had to nurse their players through there, make game changes. You know, people get pulled for contact tracing right beforehand, and you know, at the end of the season, you know, the one thing that didn't stop, you know, the pandemic didn't stop, you know, coaches, you know, getting fired and hired. And you know, that's continued regardless.
Obviously it was a very interesting press conference with Vrabel last week, but he did, as Buck pointed out, did say that he might not be done forming his staff. Jim Schwartz comes over as senior defensive assistant. Obviously, he has a history here with the Titans. What did you make of that hire?
And I'm just glad he could point that out for us.
And by the way, in case you didn't know, T, I know you know this, but Mike Vrabel's the head coach, Todd Downing's the offensive coordinator, and Shane Bowen's the defensive coordinator, just in case you didn't know.
I'll text you the complete coaching staff, okay? That way you'll know.
Don't forget, Craig Aukerman is the special team coordinator.
Oh, sorry about that. Listen,
can I just say this? A coach can determine his tone, okay? We ask the questions, he decides how he answers. And, you know, so, you know, we can quibble about how a coach answers things. He only has to be responsible and accountable to his bosses, in this case, John Robinson and Amy Adams Strong. And, fans. So, you know, and right
and who's
now,
the conduit to those fans, Teresa?
It is us.
Yes.
But guess what, Greg? I hate to, you know, do fans care how we're treated? No. Because you ask the fan, we don't ask tough enough questions. We don't ask the questions they'd ask.
Oh, especially when Malarkey was here. I got that every day.
Teresa, I understand that. He can do whatever he wants to do. He's only answerable to his bosses. However, you know, don't insult the people who are there doing a job who actually try to act professionally toward you and show you the respect by coming up with some crap answer, okay? That's all I say. Why go there? If he didn't think that defensive coordinator question was going to come up in his first availability since the move, then he's foolish. And so why even go there? Just say, hey, say nice things. Just, I don't know why you got to go that way. And if, you know, and I understand your point too. I just don't understand why it has to be done that way.
Agreed. I mean, you know, hey, I'm nice to everybody. I got to get away from this machine that's suddenly tearing up outside my house. Sorry about that, guys. The one good thing here to know is that he did bring somebody in. Jim Schwartz is not connected to the, you know, the Belichick tree, aside from the fact that I think he was a scout or did some work at the Browns under Belichick way back in the day. So this is a guy who, you know, he's 10 years with the Titans under Jeff Fisher, you know, head coach at the
back it on up in here.
What's going on over there?
Back it on up in here.
I tell you, man, it's like everybody suddenly got, I'm going to go in my closet. But, you know, Jim Schwartz brings a fresh eye. I don't know what's going on outside my house. But Jim Schwartz brings a fresh eye to this defense and a history of being able to get the quarterback on the ground. You know, for all the talk that Mike Vrabel and Shane Bowen have talked about affecting the quarterback, guys, the simplest way to affect a quarterback in the NFL or any level of college football is put him on his back on the ground. And that's what Jim Schwartz's defenses have done regularly over the past couple of decades. So he's got a great track record. He brings a fresh eye. And, you know, that – And that's the thing. You need a fresh eye sometimes. You know, this team did great. Defense last year, not so much. 19 sacks isn't going to cut it in the NFL because if you're only getting 19 sacks, I'm sorry, you're not getting that many pressures on them either. So this is a good move. And to me, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how confident, maybe arrogant Mike Vrabel can be at times, particularly with us. But here's the thing. If he's at least bringing in somebody from the outside to give feedback for his defense to make it better, that indicates to me a desire to make sure that you're better and that you're not just listening to the same old, same old.
Brewers and the Cubs, 2-3 up in Milwaukee tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday afternoon. So go Brewers.
I can't say much. It already feels like next year with the Cubs. You know, they either get home runs or nothing. So there you go.
Welcome to my life as a Yankee fan. Yeah,
well, your home run or strike out.
Thank you, Teresa.
And
appreciate
Judge
it.
Judge is hurt. Thanks, T.
Thank you, guys.
All Take right. care.